This morning, the title of this message is called Building People, the most important work of God's kingdom. Building people, the most important work of God's kingdom. And if you want to turn or find Matthew chapter 28, we'll be starting there. So over the last several months, we've been going through looking at our core values, the things that we decided were just really vital and important to us at United Life. The things that we really want to just continue to pursue and who we are. We've talked about the Bible as God's Word. We started there. Good place to start. We believe that the Bible is God's Word. We talked about relationships, how important it is to be in relationship with one another and in relationship with the Lord. We talked about God's presence, how when we gather together, it's to corporately pursue the presence of the Lord and to make room for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Man, I'm overjoyed that, you know, like, that's awesome. This morning we heard from the Holy Spirit speaking to the church, and that's what's in my heart. And we're going to continue to make room for the ministry of the Holy Spirit in our midst. We talked about the importance of family. We talked about living discipleship, number 5. And finally, number 6, we talked about making an impact through serving. These are our core values, the things that are just really important to us. It's who we are. And so and as a culmination this morning, I want to take some time to share our mission and vision with you at United Life. As the leadership has prayed and thought and prayed and got together and thought about this and sought the Lord's direction, what we feel our mission and our vision is. So I just want to share this with you this morning. And, you know, if you look at the ministry of Jesus, when Jesus wanted to begin a movement that would have lasting impact on the generations to come, you know, he didn't go start a church. He didn't start a program. You know, he didn't start a building project or some, you know, other thing. But he called 12 men to come alongside of him. And what he did is he invested in these men as his disciples. He poured his life and his heart, everything he was, into these men who in turn would go on to continue what he started and affect hundreds and thousands of people. In fact, we're a part of the effect of that ministry today. And so when Jesus wanted to start his ministry on this earth, he called 12 men to come alongside of him, and he made disciples. He made disciples. Jesus' last words to his disciples were, in essence, to carry on what he had done in them. Matthew 28 says, "Therefore, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." This is the biblical mission of the church, to make disciples, not just to see converts made, but to really take people on this journey of walking with them and sowing and pouring into their lives and raising them up to be a mature follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, who in turn are able to go ahead and reproduce themselves to get others and disciple others. So we have modeled our mission at United Life. We've modeled our mission after this. We could put up the slide. Our mission is to lead people to experience a relationship with God and become lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to lead people to experience a relationship with God and become lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. You know, what is in my heart for this church is that our focus, our drive, our mission would be to build people. To build people, to make followers, fully committed followers of Jesus Christ. I believe that this is God's goal for us, that we exist to build people, not an organization, not a building, although maybe someday God will bless us with that. Not a religious movement, but people. Because it's people God came to save. It's people that God calls. And it's people that God uses to change the world. And so I want to invest in building people. This world and the devil does an incredible job of tearing people down and making their lives an absolute wreck. But by the power of Jesus Christ, and I just believe that God will enable us to raise up and build people up to be the people that He's called them to be. Healthy, thriving, following Him, serving in a place of ministry, reaching others. At United Life, I want to see us take people from wherever they are and whatever walk of life they're in, wherever they are at the moment, and lead them into a personal experience with Jesus Christ. And then to journey with them, to see them grow in their faith and over time mature and get their footing spiritually. And then, like I just said, to become a person who is just thriving, growing, engaging in the purpose that God has intended for every individual. I want us to build people. I want us to make an investment in people. And this may not be the masses, but whoever God puts us in contact with, whoever God brings into this church, whoever that we are going to reach, that we would make such an investment in them, that they would stand up and be raised up as passionate followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, full of faith in their hearts and with a vision of what God has called them to do as an individual, for their family, and for what God would call them to do in the future. I want to build people. I think today that as I look around, that the world has enough churches. Man, Knoxville has a lot of churches, doesn't it? And on my way here, I think I pass five or six of them through this. I drive through the woods. You know? There's enough churches. There's enough movements. There's enough causes. But there's not enough disciples of Jesus Christ that are walking that out, that are living it out. And that's my heart, is to build people. So I want to share a couple things about this morning. I believe that every single one of us has a part in this. There is a corporate sense in which disciples are made, but there's also an individual level in which disciples are made. And I want to speak about this. Every one of us have a part in this, part of fulfilling this mission and this vision. So I want to ask the question, how can we be a disciple-making church? That's what I want to spend most of our time talking about this morning. How can we be a disciple-making church? Number one, growing with God. Growing with God. If we're going to be a disciple-making church, we need to be growing with God. In Mark chapter 1, verse 16, it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed Him. You know, and what this is talking about in this day where the disciple and rabbi relationship was very much prevalent in the culture, was intact, everyone understood this. And when Jesus called these disciples, this wasn't just a call to, hey, let's go walk down the beach, let's go to the mall. This was a pretty serious life commitment that He was offering to them. Many times in the first century, when a student would come to study under a rabbi, this person or this young man would leave their home, leave everything they knew, everything that was familiar, and come under the tutelage and the teaching of this individual, with the agreement in mind that they were just willingly coming under his authority and under his direction for their life, with the ultimate goal of becoming like the rabbi in everything that they did. So the first thing I want to say is that the idea of being a disciple is one of continual growth. God calls us to keep growing as Christians. And this is why I want to bring this out firstly, because if we're going to be a disciple-making church, every one of us needs to have this in our mind and in our heart, that we're going to keep growing with God. Jesus calls each of us to come journey with Him and experience who He is, that we would come walk with Him and talk with Him and share life. And He invites us into a personal relationship where we come to know Him and ultimately become more like Him. We're growing. And that's the great thing about Jesus, serving Jesus, is that He doesn't call us to a movement or to be a member of a church. He calls us to Himself, to come and learn about who He is and to continue growing with Him on this journey of faith. So as we talk about being a disciple-making church, the important thing is that we are growing with God, that each of us are growing in our own personal relationship with the Lord. That our experience with Christ is not something of the distant past, but that we can say that I read His Word and He spoke to me this morning, that I know what He's saying to me this week, that I feel like I'm following Him right now, that He's changing my life presently, that God is doing a work in me today, that I've spoke with Him this morning, that His Word is in me and living and active, that I feel alive because of my connection with the Lord Jesus today. Growth. God calls us to continue to grow with Him. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 1 of the book. He said that he said this prayer, "I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better." So that you may know Him better. And that's one of my desires for us as a body, that we would live to know Him better. There were a group of people who are passionate about knowing and continuing to grow in our relationship with the Lord Jesus. And then as we make disciples, that we invite people into this culture of growth, that we're inviting people to be a part of how we are collectively following the Lord. So I want to ask you this morning, are you growing with Jesus? Are you presently growing with Him? Are you experiencing His life on the inside of you? Do you feel alive this morning? Everything comes from our connection, our personal time with the Lord. I want to encourage you that wherever you are in life or in wherever you find yourself, that you'd make your time with Him a priority. To encourage you to spend time with Him, whether you have to stay up late or get up early, to find time to connect and feed your relationship with the Lord, to make this the most important thing in your life, because everything else that you do for yourself, your family, your business, your job, and as you contribute to this body, everything flows out of that personal connection with the Lord. Make this important. Do what you have to do to feed your relationship with Jesus. That's the most life-giving part about following Him. We can go into the quiet place and close the door and throw the phone away for a minute and just sit before the Lord and allow Him to speak and allow His Word to come inside and change us every day. I want to be a church who's excited about growing with God, and that as people come, as we make disciples, that we invite people to be a part of this excitement, what God is doing amongst us. Growing with God. Secondly, how can we be a disciple-making church? First of all, by growing with God. But secondly, by growing with one another. Growing with one another. Acts 2:42, it says, this description about the early church. that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day, they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. You know, the early church sounds like a great place to me. They studied the Word of God together. They prayed together. They gave to one another. They ate together. It sounds to me like they were doing life together. That there was not an individual mentality, but there was a, let's follow God together. And if you have a need, let me see what I can do about it. And why don't you come over and have coffee with me and share meal and share life. And my prayer as we talk about moving forward is that we would not only grow with God, but that we would grow together in our relationships with one another. One of the greatest things that I've ever been a part of in the body of Christ is being a part of a group of people who, yes, gets together on Sunday, but also throughout the week is getting together, is doing life together, is meeting for breakfast or for lunch or having one another over, you know, and just enjoying being together. That's a part of being a part of the body of Christ. And this is a part of discipleship because this is what we're inviting people to be a part of. This is what we are welcoming people into, this shared community, this relationships that we have with one another, the joy that we feel when we get together. You know, I think about Wednesday nights right now. We've started this series called You Life, My Life. And people are sharing their testimonies. We've been doing it for a couple weeks. And last week, Christy shared her testimony just about the miracles that God had done in her life. The miraculous things that only God could do. And it was awesome. It was encouraging. And you know, I love when we get together and have cookouts and bonfires. And when we enjoy being together. And you know what's great about that is that I'm getting to know you. And you're getting to know me, and we're getting to know one another, and we're growing together. There's a bond developing between us that we're not just strangers that gather or just happen to get together for church on Sunday morning. But I know what's going on in your life, and you know what's going on with me. And we're doing it together. We're pulling on the same rope. We're praying for one another. I'm concerned about you, and you care about one another. And we're doing this thing together. And it's man, maybe this is like the early church. Maybe this is what it was like. God wants us to grow together. This is not an individual event. This is something that God's called us to do together. And my heart for us as a body is that we would grow together. That, you know, that we would need each other. That we would function interdependently. That we would find ways to love and serve one another. And that we would be intentional about growing together from this point forward. I'll tell you, it's one of the greatest things I've always loved about the church. My greatest relationships have been within the context of the church. And it's life-giving. And I want to challenge you. Maybe to, you know, the church is small. We're still in the birthing stages. But maybe find the person that you know the least and say, hey, let's get a cup of coffee. Make time to be intentional, to get a lunch or to find time to get your families together. Because I'll tell you what, that you're not here by accident. You and your family have not been placed or dropped here accidentally. But God has meant you to be here so that you could grow with Him, but yes, grow with those who are around you. So I want to encourage you to grow relationally. be intentional about getting, continue to grow with one another. I love this. This is like the most, this is life-giving, being together. God wants us to grow together. And thirdly, how can we be a disciple-making church? Lastly, by having a heart to reproduce ourselves, to having that in our heart. 2 Timothy 2:2 says, "And the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." This is the word of God, but in it Paul is writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. And Timothy was a young man whom Paul met on one of his missionary journeys. And Timothy ended up coming alongside of him and traveling with Paul and learning about who he was. And here, Paul is saying to him, "Now that I've discipled you, now that I have poured into you and helped raise you up to the place where you are at with God today, now that I've discipled you, now you go and make a disciple. Now you go reproduce yourself. Take what I've poured into you, what God has done in you, and give it away to somebody else. Go replicate yourself." And this is the heart of a true disciple. This is the heart of really the mark of a disciple who has come to the place of maturity in their Christian walk, that they're able to reproduce themselves, to take what God has done inside of them and give it, pour it into another life and say, "Come alongside me, as come follow me as I follow Christ. Come walk with me. Let me pour into you. Let me help you navigate this time as God has helped me navigate a similar time." There's, like I said, there's a part that the body plays in making disciples, but this is the part that the individual plays. At some point, every person that has struck out to follow Jesus Christ and has been successful, they needed someone at some point in their life to come alongside them and to encourage them and to speak to them, to be honest with them and to help them grow. It's making a disciple. And this is where every one of us come into play, our role. Because God is calling each and every one of us to make disciples. This is really powerful because this is what the Word tells us. This is really powerful because I've experienced this in my life personally. You know, you all know Pastor Anthony, you've met him a couple times, and if not, he's the pastor I worked with in New Orleans, worked under for 10 years. And that was what happened when I came to work with him. He said, "Come walk with me as we plant this church. Come walk with me." And you know, when we started to plant the church, you know what we did most of the time? He said, "Let's go get lunch." I said, "We just did that yesterday." "No, let's get good lunch." And we ate a lot together. You know, I've eaten with that man hundreds of times. You know why? Because it wasn't just about lunch. He says, "Zach, how are you doing this week? What's God saying to you? What are you being challenged with? How do you feel like God is calling you to grow this week? What's God saying?" And he would mentor me and give me direction and walk me through things and allow me to succeed and fail in ministry and then help me get back up and point me in the right direction. And as I walked with him for 10 years, I can look back and it was subtle, but I can definitely say that over 10 years, I'm not the same person. I'm not the same person who went to New Orleans 10 years ago as a young man. There's been some transformation in my life. It's because a man came alongside of me and said, "I'm going to pour into you. Journey with me, and I'm going to give you everything that God's put in me. I'm going to give it to you." And there's been a change inside of me. It's because of his investment in the work of the Lord through him. Making disciples. It's the biblical model. He also told me to, in the midst of all this, to look around and say, "Hey, who can I be pouring into? At one point, there was a young man in our church who was a graduate student at Tulane University, and you know, he just started asking me, you know, hey, could we get together for coffee? And I said, sure, I love coffee. Let's do it. You know, we would get together, and God just knit our hearts together at that coffee house on Ferret. And we would meet every other week, sometimes every week, and he would ask me questions, and we would talk about life and what God was saying to him and what he was going through and how he should handle a particular situation. And I just poured out my life. I just poured into him. And you know, over the course of time, there was change and there was transformation in his life. I just talked to him on the phone this week. He lives in northern Louisiana. He said, I just want to thank you for the investment, for all the encouragement over the years. That's discipleship. And it wasn't just me. I'm not taking credit for that. It was the work of the Lord. But that's discipleship. And that's what God calls every follower of Christ to do, to go reproduce themselves, the life of God inside of them in someone else, to take someone along with them as they follow Christ, to do life together, to share in the perhaps the most mundane activities of life that become spiritual moments as you talk and think about how to handle certain things and what God is saying at a particular moment. And it's transformational. I believe that God will use every one of us in here to make disciples. You know, you might think, well, what? How could I do that? What is inside of me that someone else needs? I want to tell you this morning that there's something good that God has done, that God has imparted to you. There's a good work that God has done inside of you that is worth and necessary to pass on to those who will come behind us. And the fact is that this world needs you, needs what God has done inside of you. There's somebody, there's some couples, there's some people that need to hear what God has done. This world needs Pastor Sean and Pastor Sarah. It needs Stephen Adiel. It needs Jackie and Melissa. It needs Tony and Amy and Nicole and John Mark and Dave and Melissa. It needs to hear what God has done in us. We need to make disciples. So I'm asking that you would see yourself not only as a disciple, but as someone who's able to make a disciple, as a discipler, to believe that God has called you and that he will do it through your life. God will do this. I'm nobody special, but God did it through me, and it was just like a revelation to me. Wow. God wants each and every one of us to participate in this divine activity. So as I close, I want to share our vision statement with you. If you could put up that vision statement. When we talk about vision, we're talking about the long-term desired effect, the long-term goal. It's our dream. It's what we want to see God do, what we believe him to do. And it comes from fulfilling the mission. If we will fulfill the mission, then we'll see the vision come to be. Jesus' vision for his disciples, what did he tell them right off the bat? He said, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. That someday they wouldn't just fish for a living, for natural floppy fishes, but that they would have a part in going to get men for God and discipling them and raising up, going to fish for other people. And it's fulfilled. Our vision at United Life is this, and it's on this sign. I brought this up here this morning. Our vision is to inspire commitment, invest in our community, and influence culture for Christ. inspire commitment, invest in community, and influence culture for Christ. We believe that that is the desired change that we want to see in this city, that as we fulfill the mission of raising up, building people, and raising up disciples, that we'll see this vision accomplished. This is what we are praying for God to do. First of all, inspiring commitment, that people would come to know Jesus. Isn't that the whole point? That's the whole point, that United Life be a place where people are consistently coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are coming out of their life, out of their darkness, out of their stuff, and coming to know a new life in Jesus Christ, that this would be like a birthing ground for people experiencing the new life and the touch of God. We want to inspire commitment to Christ. Secondly, we want to invest in our community. A part of this vision is that United Life would be integral in making a difference in this area. I've said it a few times over the past couple weeks, but I believe that there is a fit for this church, that there is a special place that God has designed for us, a need that we are going to meet, a group of people that we are going to touch, a design that God has called us to fulfill in this city. And I believe that as we give, as we serve, as we reach out, that we're going to find that fit, the place that God has designed for us to be as a church. And as we do that, that we're going to make a difference in this community. I don't want to be a church that just is in here, but there's an effect that we'll have as we serve this area and the people of this community. I'm thrilled for the opportunity just to go give someone a bottle of water on that Saturday morning, because it shows that our heart is to serve. We don't want anything back. We just pray that you're blessed and we can point them to Christ. I believe that Knoxville will be different because United Life is here, making a difference in our community. And finally, influencing culture for Christ. I believe that we're going to influence culture for Jesus Christ as we do what God has asked us to do. That, yes, we'll influence culture in this city and the immediate place right around us, but perhaps even further than that in a larger sense. That as we raise up men and women to follow Jesus, that maybe our influence will be farther than we realize. Maybe we'll send out missionaries, yes, maybe across the street, but also maybe around the world, that we'll have a part in raising up mission outposts and orphanages and sending people to maybe the far corners of the world. You just don't know what God will do when we obey Him and say yes to what He's asking of us to do. It may be far greater than we realize. So I believe that as we're obedient to raise up leaders, that there's no limit. There's no telling how far the reach and the effect of United Life Church will be. And what God is simply asking us to do is to make disciples, to raise up leaders who are passionate about serving Jesus Christ, who are unafraid, have faith in their heart, who are willing to give it all for Jesus and reach out and be effective and used by Him in the day that we live. I believe that we're going to be a part of that. I believe that God's going to do it. I believe God's going to do it. I believe He's going to do it. So what I'm asking of you today, it's just simply this, that you would take this into your heart. I believe this is from the Lord. I've prayed over this. I've sought the Lord, especially on this. I'm asking you that you'd take this into your heart. Believe it. And say, Lord, yes, Lord, use us to do it. Yes, Lord, use us to do it. Lord, use United Life to raise up disciples. Would you stand with me today? Father, I just thank you, Lord. Thank you for who you are.
Lord, how much you love each and every one of us individually, Lord. God, I thank you for sending your son Jesus. Lord, he's made all the difference. He's done it all. He's made all the difference in us, Lord God. We thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for pouring out your Holy Spirit into our lives. I thank you for raising us up, Lord God, and calling us together as a body this morning, Lord. We give you praise. We honor your name, Lord. God, and we thank you for this mission. We thank you for this vision, Father God. Lord, and we pray today, Lord, as a collectively as a body, Lord. Lord, that you would make us effective, Lord, at this. Lord, that you would use us to fulfill what you've given us, Lord. God, we say yes to you with all of our hearts. God, we, Lord, just receive this into our spirits, Lord God, what you are saying, Father. Lord, and our prayer is that you would, Lord, help us to grow with you. God, help us to grow with each other, Lord God. Lord, and use us to make disciples, Lord. Use us to raise up leaders to make disciples, Father God. That's our heart, Lord God, and we pray that we would see the fulfillment of this vision, Lord God, as we're obedient to you, Father.